Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. Thank you so much for listening on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right, it is the sports machine, Sean Levine. Producing this thing is Rob Brenton. Coming up in 30 minutes, we will get into a brand new edition of Something Good and Something Bad. But once again, you're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the radio.com app. How you guys doing today?
I'm doing all right, although earlier it was raining, so I was all ready to do my blame it on the rain, but I guess I can't do it.
Did the rain mess up any of your plans this weekend? They said it was going to be a lot of rain, that it was going to be a rainy weekend. It wasn't nearly as bad as they said it was going
to
be.
And I understand that meteorologists, kind of like politicians and sports talk hosts, we can't be held to our word all the time. We're making predictions and they're not always going to come true. But if you want to be a little bit upset at the local meteorologist, then I don't blame you, because yeah, it did mess with my plans. I was going to go camping for 3 days. We ended up just going camping for 1 day, which, by the way, is probably the appropriate time to go camping. Like, when you wake up in the morning at 5:30 and there's that dew on the tent and you're like, yeah, I need a shower. I'm not trying to do a whole other day of that. But yeah, the weather or lack of rain did screw up my plans.
Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll get into something good and something bad for the weekend. Speaking of plans, a whole lot of people have plans down at the Lake of the Ozarks.
We've seen so many health officials be very critical of the video that hit the internet over the weekend showing that packed pool with zero social distancing. Well, now leaders in St. Louis County are taking action. The health department there says anyone who didn't properly distance themselves at the Lake of the Ozarks needs to go into quarantine for 14 days. They're even out with a travel advisory calling the behavior reckless and saying what they're seeing online endangers countless people and risks setting us back substantially from the progress we've made in slowing the spread of COVID-19. Health officials are also asking employers to ask their workers about their recent travels and social distancing. Back in our neck of the woods, the head of Kansas City, Missouri Health Department is also weighing in, echoing the decision. On Twitter, Dr. Rex Archer wrote, anyone who didn't practice CDC, DHSS, and KCMO Health Department social distancing guidance should self-quarantine for 14 days if they have any compassion for others.
C-Dot, where'd you grow up? What side of the state line?
Missouri.
And where'd you go to school at?
In Missouri.
These are your people. These are my people. I grew up in Overland Park, and then I went to school at KU. I don't understand. Now, look, I've been to Coconuts. I love Coconuts. As a matter of fact, I had plans earlier this, before all this went down, of going to Coconuts. We actually rented out one of the little cabins they have by. It's a great place. And I never got a chance to do my senior year spring break. All the homies went to Puerto Vallarta. I went to Bettendorf, Iowa, so I understand a good time for a weekend, and Coconuts is certainly a place to go and do that. But not now. That was Rona soup. That was disgusting, and we always complained about the streets and the schools and all this stuff, Kansas versus Missouri. That's your people, and y'all are disgusting.
I do want to point out that I don't know how the Blake people are my people, given the fact that I've never been to the lake before. I can't swim. I have no clue what Coconuts is. I just want to go ahead and put that out there. I do want to say this. I do think we are past the point of social distance shaming. I do think at the very beginning, when this entire thing started, the multitude determined if you break what the rules are, we are going to mock you and shame you in an effort to get you to turn things around. Man, I think that part is way way over here. I think we knew that Memorial Day was going to kind of be that line of demarcation, and America was going to be ready to get back to work, get back to the club, get back outside, get back to doing whatever they wanted to do. So that's where we are now. I'm not saying I condone the behavior down at the lake. Obviously, I don't. I've been practicing social distancing for myself. But at this point, man, it's just you got to protect you and yours. So you got to wear your mask when you go out, and you got to stay away from these little corona kids. I don't want nothing to do with them. But we knew this was going to be the case. The moment you told people that the lake was open and that they could go to Coconuts, we thought everybody was going to stay at home. That wasn't realistic at all.
Mask? You thought people were going to be in that water with mask? No, there's no scuba gear. There's very small bikinis. And man, I'm telling you, it's a great place, but not necessarily right now. And you were having fun. Remember this kid?
If I get corona, I get corona. At the end of the day, I'm not going to let it stop me from partying. You know, I've been waiting. We've been waiting for Miami spring break for a while. About 2 months we've had this trip planned. 2-3 months. So we're just out here having a good time. Whatever happens, happens.
Remember him?
I do remember little Corona boy.
That's original little Corona boy who waited 2 months. 2 months of his life, Carrington. He'd been waiting 2 months to go on his trip. And you know what? Damn Corona. Damn all the information that we have about it. He was going to go. And you got on the microphone and you said, what the hell are you doing? I believe you called him dumb and an ignorant and a fool and some other stuff. And now you're telling us that, well, if you want to go, go?
No, that's not at all what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm saying is at this point, everybody that's down at the lake has the information. It's not like the people who were at the lake for these last 2 months haven't been listening to Dr. Fauci, haven't heard any of this information, haven't been told about the mask and the virus. They simply said, we don't care. We're going to go down there. And we know that's how people are. So no, I'm not condoning it. I got no interest in being down there at the lake. But we know enough of the American spirit and human people to know if you give them an option of you can go back outside, people are going to pick the option. So that's what I'm saying is you got to make your own decision now at this point. I don't want to be around any of you. I'm not going to the restaurants. I'm not going to the patios. I'm not going to your lake. I'm not going to your sporting event. I'm not going to your movie theater. I'm making that decision for me, but I'm not naive enough to think that everybody is going to think the exact same way. And I think we saw pretty evident down at the Lake of the Ozarks, not everyone feels the same way I feel about this.
I'm being completely serious. Is this an everywhere problem? Because so I was at Hillsdale Lake on Saturday night, and I'm not going to pretend like everybody was social distancing, but it also definitely wasn't. It didn't look like spring break at all. Is this a our problem? Like, is this an Ozarks problem? Is this the people around here don't care problem? Because
I know you're not big on social media. Did you see what it looked like in Atlanta? Did you see what it looked like in Houston?
No,
I
did not.
The exact same as the Lake of the Ozarks. It looked the exact same.
It looked that nasty?
The moment that you give people the option of, hey, come party, people are going to pick the option to go party. Like, we've seen this time and time again. You got to think about it. Our entire American society is based on choices and freedom. That the government can't tell you what to do. I can't tell you what to do. You can't tell you what to do. You got a choice for yourself. Man, we're finally seeing that's what people have now. If you want to go and you want to go party and be at the club, you finally have the option to go do so. You didn't have that for 2 months. Wasn't no clubs open. Wasn't no restaurants open. Wasn't no movie theaters open. But it's the summer now, and we have been pushing people. Let's get back to work. Let's get back to work. Let's open things up. Give us a choice. Man, you got the choice to go to Lake of the Ozarks if you want. They can ask you, hey, be courteous and come back and self-quarantine. Believe me, no one that went down to the Lake of the Ozarks now came back to Kansas City and was like, oh man, what did I do? You know what I should do? I should stay away from everybody for the next 14 days. That ain't realistic. We all know that's not realistic.
Well, those aren't the same people that also decided to go down the lake this weekend and to swap fluids with a bunch of people in the warm waters of Coconuts Pool. And you know why the water's warm, right? It's not because they got a real nice heating system. So again, if we're going to do that at the same time, I got an email last week. Rob, you play softball out at Miller's Woods, right? Like Blue Valley Rec?
That I do.
So you got the same email that I got, was essentially saying, we're going to try to play this year, but we're going to completely change the rules to try to make it as safe as possible, up to and including there's only a certain amount of people that can be in the stands. I'm not talking about a major league game. I'm talking about my Sunday night beer league. One of the rules is that you can't chew sunflower seeds this year because they think that spitting those is going to somehow help, or I shouldn't say help, but it's going to spread the virus or at least make it more likely to happen. I don't understand at the same time certain institutions and certain people are taking every precaution. And I was just out, and seems like I would say at the grocery store, I was just at Hy-Vee, maybe 75, I'd say 3 and 4 people were wearing a mask. And then you can find hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, not to just throw their hands up and they're like, I'm going to go out there and live my life, but they're going to go back to spring break life. I don't know about you, but when I saw that, the first thing I want to do is vomit in my mouth.
I just know America and I know Americans. I'm not surprised at all that that happened. And believe me, you thought that was just that's the first weekend of the summer. We still got 4th of July weekend. We still got Labor Day. We still got a lot more time to see things that happened this weekend down at the Lake of the Ozarks. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get to something good and something bad for the weekend. But once again, Mike Tyson is screaming out for help, and I am the only one that hears it. I'll explain what I mean coming up. So Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive. Thanks so much for listening. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will get into something good and something bad. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. I have been the only one that has noticed this. I've been the only one not afraid to have this conversation. It is starting to be very clear to me that Mike Tyson is hard up for money. How do I know this is the case? The Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship is set to offer Mike Tyson more than $20 million to come out of retirement and compete in a fight for the organization. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't know there was a Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship until earlier today when I read this story. From the president, David Feldman, quote, "I think I know what we need to do to make this thing happen. They offered a 53-year-old man $20 million to get in the ring and fight another person. If Mike Tyson takes this money, Mike Tyson's broke. There's no other way to explain why a 53-year-old man would accept this offer. I've been telling you guys from the very beginning, once Mike Tyson has been putting these little Instagram teasers out that he's trying to fight. Who is interested in watching old people in combat sports? It sounds terrible to me. Think about what Tom Brady looks like playing quarterback. He's 42. You want to add 12 more years and now put this man in the ring where he could potentially kill another human being? This doesn't sound entertaining. Somebody has to be the voice of reason and tell Mike Tyson to stop, to cool it, to relax. If I have to be the one to do that, fine. But I'm the only one that's not afraid of Mike Tyson enough to tell that man the truth. You don't need to do this. Do something else with your life."
He is, and he's not broke. Haven't you seen what he's doing in the weed game? Mike Tyson makes over $1 million profit himself from his Tyson Ranch, which essentially they grow a lot of weed. So, yeah, he's not broke. He's got plenty of money. And I'm not talking about money from fighting. I'm talking about recent money from the ganja. So he's doing fine financially.
No one that is in his point of life where you have been fighting for, since he was a teenager?
Yeah.
To now at 50 years old and his level of health now decides, hey, you know what I really want to do? I want this guy to punch me with no gloves if you ain't really hard up for cash here. I refuse to believe it. I refuse to believe that you're making so much money not fighting that you're like, hey, you know what I need to do to make this quick buck? Get back in the ring.
It's not a quick buck.
Years old.
It's a quick 20 million bucks. Who wouldn't do almost anything short of death, guaranteed death, for $20 million? And I don't care if you're Mike Tyson, you got a fat bank account already, or if you're homeless Joe on the corner living in a big oversized television box.
You like Tupac, right? Tupac said on Changes, "You made a G today, but you made it in a sleazy way." This is a sleazy way. You think that Mike Tyson is a legend, one of the greatest fighters and was the baddest man on the planet. Now at 53 years old, you're fighting in the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, but you've never, this isn't him going to do WWE. This isn't him going to UFC. This isn't him fighting for the WBO championship. He's fighting Kimbo Slice's homeboys here in the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship on YouTube. That's the actions of somebody that's broke. That's the actions of somebody that's trying to stay in the published consciousness. This is no different than what reality stars do, that they go on these ridiculous television shows because they're trying to extend their 15 minutes of fame. Mike, stay at home and be a family man. You got your podcast popping. Be in a movie. You got your weed game out here. You're making money a lot of these other ways. This is what you want to do in your free time, Mike? And you guys are supporting this behavior? No, I'm not supporting this behavior from Mike Tyson. I'm putting my foot down. I'm telling that old man to stop before he breaks his hip, because he is about 2 months from breaking his hip. He's going to have a broken hip by the end of this quarantine. I don't know when that's going to be. By the end of this quarantine, Mike Tyson's going to break his hip.
Oh, he's not
and I don't want
to.
That from
Right.
I mean, Tupac also said revenge is like the sweet. You know what he said, and I can't say it on the radio, but he went out, Mike Tyson, not exactly the champ that we all remember him when he was young. You don't think he'd like to come back, make $20 million, and knock out somebody in a bare knuckle competition? And guess who'd be watching? Guess who'd be watching? You. Everybody'd be watching. Of course they would.
I have absolutely no interest in watching Mike Tyson in a bare knuckle fight for $20 million. I don't. I genuinely don't have any interest in this. I don't have any interest.
Okay, so Mike Tyson.
If he's going to do a regular boxing match, I'll watch that for free. But if Mike Tyson is going to do this gimmick, it's disrespectful to his legend. Like right now. How would you look if Michael Jordan decided to go compete in the Big Three? You're Michael Jordan. Why are you doing this? You don't have to do this. Mike, you got the shoes. You got the clothes. You don't have to now go play basketball against Al Harrington to prove to me that you're a good basketball player. I got it. If Mike Tyson is the baddest man on the planet, he would not do something like this that is beneath him. This is beneath him as a human being to take this $20 million. This is nasty.
I've only watched one bare-knuckle fight because I had money on it. It was Paulie Malignaggi versus Artem Lobov. I'm sure those names don't mean anything to you.
They don't mean nothing to nobody.
It was mildly entertaining. You know what's going to be really entertaining? Mike Tyson without gloves in a bare-knuckle competition, whether he's getting paid $20 or $20 million, I don't care if I'm streaming it or paying for it, I'm going to be watching. How many times over the years have people asked the question, would you take a punch from Mike Tyson for $1 million? How many times have you wondered, I wonder what would happen if Mike Tyson got really pissed off in a street fight? Well, you can see it, and knowing you can stream it for free. Don't pretend like your life is all of a sudden so interesting where on Saturday night, you're not going to watch three rounds of Mike Tyson with no gloves on.
I swear, I'm not interested. Now, I'll watch if he's going to fight Evander Holyfield, I'll watch that. If he's going to fight in a regular boxing match, okay, I'll watch it. But this, no, I'm not participating in this gimmick. This is silly.
I don't care if he's fighting Paulie Malignaggi or Paulie Shore. If Mike Tyson's out there fighting anybody, essentially in a street fight, yeah, I'm in.
Well, I do know this. He won't be fighting anybody good because he never beats those people.
How many Hall of Famers did Mike Tyson actually fight? And don't bring up Michael Spinks that came from a light heavyweight to heavyweight that was fucking terrified out of his motherfucking boots. And don't bring up Larry Holmes because we already know Larry was way past his prime. So how many of them? And you come back with that.
Somebody said six.
Name them. Logistically, somebody, credibility, Hall of Famers, name them. So I'll be waiting. How many?
Lewis and Holyfield.
Thank you. Only two, my nigga. Holyfield beat him twice and Lennox beat him. Only two. So what the fuck y'all talking about?
Now, I want to say focus on the message and not the messenger. Now, the fact that Deontay Wilder, who the last time we saw Deontay Wilder in a fight got beat up, I want you to disregard that and focus in on the message. He just told you everything I've been saying about Mike Tyson. Yes, maybe you didn't believe scrawny old me, but you don't believe Deontay Wilder, a veteran, a legend, someone who studied this game? I told you guys about Mike at the beginning of this quarantine. 2 months ago, 3 months ago, I tried to tell you guys about Mike, and you guys were like, no, that's not true. He beat Peter McNeely at his prime. He beat Frank Bruno at his prime. I tried to tell you guys. He's fought two Hall of Famers. He was 0-3 in those fights, and one of those fights ended because he wanted a snack. And he didn't snack on some orange slices at Capri Sun. He snacked on Evander Holyfield's ear. I've been telling you about the fraudulent past of Mike Tyson for months now. I'm happy someone else had the credibility and heart to step out on this limb. Even if it's just me and Deontay Wilder. That's fine.
He fought Glass Joe, didn't he?
He did fight Glass Joe.
And he fought that hippo guy, right? King Hippo. He also fought Francois Botha, didn't he? He fought Peter McNeely. No, but to be real, I'm reading the list of the guy who your boy Deontay Wilder's fought in big-time fights. Stavern, what's his first name? Molina Dahopsus, S-V-P-I-L-K-A. I guess that's Svapolka. Pavetkin Areola. Isn't that part of the nipple? Washington, Stavern, Ortiz, Brazil. Like, let's not pretend like your guys beat the who's who. Let's not pretend like Mike Tyson was ducking names either.
Deontay Wilder ain't my guy. I said, let's focus on the message and not the messenger.
He fought Areola. Right.
He's not the perfect messenger for this. And the last time we saw him, he got beat up.
Got his ass kicked.
But prime Deontay Wilder against prime Mike Tyson?
Mike Tyson smokes him like a Snoop blunt. It's okay. Not even close.
I don't know.
Have a trilogy because it might happen twice and Deontay Wilder would get knocked out both times.
I actually think that Deontay Wilder can fight. Mike's never beat anybody I think can fight. Not okay. One single time has he beat anybody I think can fight.
Yeah, I forgot that. You're right. Wilder knocked out DeHopassus and Svobokulka both in the same year. That was very, very impressive. He hadn't beat anybody either. When he fights good guys, they beat his ass the same way that happened to Tyson. And Tyson fought those guys that we're talking about at the end of his career. Like, what would have happened if a 20-year-old Mike Tyson fights Evander Holyfield? What happens if a 22-year-old Mike Tyson fights Lennox Lewis instead of a 32-year-old Mike Tyson?
I just want to point out that we talk about end of their career. I do want to point out that he was the same age that Michael Jordan was when Michael Jordan started his second three-peat. So it's not like athletes at 31 can't be peak athletes. 31 years old he was. 31. And now it's the end of his career. It was the end. It was over, huh?
Well, don't you think that athletes in different sports age differently? I don't know if a basketball player's body and a boxer's body is the same thing.
No, you're right. They're very different. Michael Jordan is an actual world-class athlete, and Mike Tyson was a one-trick pony that ended very quickly the moment he fought anybody could fight. And now you guys are telling me that you want him to fight in bare-knuckle fighting championships for $20 million so he can swindle more money out of your pocket. Shenanigans. I want nothing to do with it. Coming up next, we'll talk about another shenanigan, the match. You're listening on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get into something good and something bad from the weekend. Sean, I'm not going to lie to you, man. A funny thing has happened.
What's that?
Rob, you remember this. I know you're working, but I need you here on this. You remember at the very beginning of this whole thing, Sean was jonesing for anything live action, anything sports that you can bet on. It didn't matter if they were playing backgammon, Chinese checkers, they were playing that little quarters game from The Last Dance that I still don't really understand what it was. You were jonesing for some live action and some live sports. And the funny thing is, they started giving us live events, and you've hated every single live event that they've given us. You hated horse. You hated the match. You hated the NFL draft. You haven't liked any of this stuff. You got tired of UFC the moment UFC came back. You haven't liked any of this stuff that they've given you when you were the main one asking for it.
That's fair, but UFC oversaturated it a little bit.
It was 1 week.
They gave me 3 cards in 1 week. I didn't need to see that many fights.
I mean, I watch a lot of NBA basketball. Baseball happens every day. I don't feel like after the first week of the season, man, you know what? This baseball season is too much, man. They've played 5 games these first 4 days. I can't do anymore. Believe me, never during the NBA playoffs. I'm like, man, you know what? God, I'm tired of this in the first round.
If they come back with triple headers every day for baseball, trust me, it's not going to take you too long to get sick of it. And I'm ready for the UFC to come back this Saturday. I hope Tyron Woodley gets back in the win column. So I'm looking forward to fighting again. As far as horse goes, come on, dude. That wasn't me. That was you and that was everybody. That sucked. I was looking forward to it, but that's not me. That's on them.
No,
they could have done it better.
No, that's perfectly fair. I'm only pointing out the fact that you were King Jonesing.
You
were saying,
sports.
Man, put anything on television. I'll watch it. I don't care. I just want to watch live sports. You didn't want to watch esports. You wanted live action sports. Rob, correct me if I'm wrong. They've been giving you live action sports. Now, it's not the traditional team sports we would have. I think what's really happened is you're still sad that you didn't get March Madness. Now you're taking it out on all these other events. The match was fine. I watched a little bit of it. I didn't sit there and watch 18 holes of it. I probably watched it play 3 holes. I watched a lot of clips online. The match was perfectly fine. It was exactly what we all thought it was going to be. It was going to be 4 not that funny, kind of square people playing golf. And that's exactly what happened. Tom Brady was worse at golf than I think any of us could have imagined. It was fun to laugh at Tom Brady. It had some good moments. It had some good ribbing. It had some good back and forth. I don't know many people that watch the match and are complaining about the quality of entertainment that they got. If anything, I think people want them to continue doing it and do it again with different celebrities.
Not if we get real sports back. And then they'll be like, yeah, no, that was corny and that was not worth watching. Now, they did watch. You saw the numbers, right?
I did see the numbers.
Everybody was watching. I mean, it did Last Dance type numbers. It was absolutely huge. But that's because of the times. It's not because of the event. Let's not pretend like it was really entertaining. Let's not pretend like it was that competitive. Let's not pretend like Tom Brady was all that funny. And that's the problem. Like, maybe if you mic up Kevin Hart and Dave Chappelle with Tiger and Phil, then it could go off a little bit better. But these guys aren't that funny, so I don't want to hear them try to crack jokes and get the behind-the-scenes conversation that I haven't heard in the past with that particular foursome. So you're right. I beg for sports. They brought it back. And what I've realized is, I want real sports. I don't want horse in people's driveways. I don't want to watch Tom Brady make two jokes every 18 holes. That's 36 Tom Brady jokes. I don't need that.
So I did
I want
see
my sports.
I did. I mean, they gave you UFC, and you got tired
that
of
much
it after,
of my sport.
After the second
I don't need
event.
That much.
Then you got tired of the UFC. So I saw this from someone that tracks NFL or in television ratings. So since the start of the shutdown with sports, we have seen the most watched NFL draft ever. We have seen the most watched ESPN documentary ever. Before that, it was the one about Bo Jackson. I think topped out at $3.1 million. Last Dance blew that out of the water. We saw the most watched non-Daytona NASCAR race in 5 years, and it was the most watched cable golf event ever. Man, the ratings aren't real. I would say the ratings aren't real on the good end, and for a lot of people, the ratings aren't real on the bad end. Man, there's no sports. How can you really evaluate First Take and the impact that it has if they're coming up with new Jordan and LeBron topics every single day because there isn't new information to discuss? How can we really evaluate the success of the NFL draft because it was the most watched NFL draft ever when there is a limited option pool right now? ESPN documentary, would this documentary have hit the same? Would it have been the most viewed if the original plan was to play it in between the NBA finals? I don't think you're getting 6.1 million people to watch the documentary at the end of the NBA playoffs. I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing, but I think with these ratings, I don't want these television executives and companies to think that once we get back to having a surplus of sports, which I think is going to be happening here in the next 3 months, I don't think that the match three is going to get 6.1 million viewers. I don't think ESPN's Tom Brady documentary is going to do Last Dance numbers just because this one did, because at some point, we're going to go back to having our normal options and people are going to be more willing to pick and choose.
It is kind of hard to tell what's been real in the sports world during coronavirus, like the NFL draft. You and I saw that completely differently. In fact, you, me, and Rob, the three of us in this room, saw it completely differently. I feel like you guys were much more entertained and thought they pulled it off than I did. And maybe it's because I set up the expectations too much, but I thought it sucked. I thought that it was boring. I didn't think that it was very innovative. I didn't think they used enough graphics. I thought that they kind of dropped the ball by letting Roger Goodell be the MC for 3 days and not bringing in Billy Crystal or Kevin Hart. Like, if it's going to be...
You got Kevin Hart doing a lot of stuff out here. My man's hosting the NFL draft, and he's playing golf with Tiger Woods.
What the hell else has he been doing? He's been under quarantine with all of us, right? So, and let's face it, like, Kevin... There's one thing Kevin Hart's really good at. It's getting work, right? He's in pretty much everything all the time. So, yeah, he should have been there. He should have been down in Roger Goodell's basement as a backup, and they should have gave Goodell the first 10 picks and said, look, we're going to see how this goes. If you're funny, if you're charismatic, if it's enjoyable to watch, then you got to keep going for the rest of the first round. But if not, we're bringing Kevin Hart out from your grotto, wherever he's been hanging out, Roger Goodell's crib, and he's going to do the rest of it. Instead, we had Goodell hosting for 3 days, and everybody watch. Because they were stuck at home and there's nothing else to do. And you could bet on it. So degenerates like myself went, okay, it's kind of sports. Same thing with The Last Dance. I wonder if The Last Dance was actually as good as everybody's making it out to be. Or if it's kind of the prison, you know, people are stuck in prison. All of a sudden, everybody comes really good looking. Well, is that what happened with The Last Dance? Like, was it all of a sudden made to be much better than it actually was because there wasn't any other activity? I don't know.
I'm just laughing that you compared watching The Last Dance to prison.
Well, you get my point, right?
I'm just saying, laughing. Right?
The guard walks in, all of a sudden she's looking like, you know,
but I guess this is maybe my critique, complaint, however you want to word it. Was it more you missed the entertainment value or the competition value? Because in the NFL draft, it's never been that entertaining. It's the selecting of players. Like, it's not like when the NFL draft was normal. It was very funny. It was, all I want you to do is draft the players, tell me about the players, move on. With this match, I don't know how many people were going into it expecting humor. I want to watch arguably the greatest golfer of all time, one of the 15 best golfers. I'm not qualified enough, but so don't kill me, text line. But Phil Mickelson's an all-time great golfer. I want to watch these two great golfers go up against or play with two of the all-time great athletes of their generation and go back and forth and have a little bit of fun and compete a little bit. I don't know if the intended audience really wanted it to be a very comical thing, but I wanted to watch them play golf, and I think the people that watched it were served by the fact of Brady didn't appear to be that good at it. And I think it's funny to watch someone who is so dominant and so talented in something else struggle at something that most people struggle at, which is golf.
Yeah, no, I'm just not one of those people, I guess. Like, I'm not interested in watching those. Why would I want to watch a... What do you think he is? An average golfer for a guy his age? Like, there's probably every guy at every company that plays golf about as good as Tom Brady did yesterday. Why do I care that he's the greatest quarterback and football player of all time doing something different? I'd have the same interest in watching Phil Mickelson run routes and watch Tom Brady throw him like post patterns. I'm good. That's not what he does. So, I do appreciate, I don't want to sound like a jerk, so I do appreciate all of these sports. The horse competition, I was excited. I remember going home that night, and I'm like, cool, there's actually some sports to watch. And then I turned it on, and I went, yeah, that sucked. Same thing with the NFL draft. I was the one who said it in the microphone that it was going to be the best and most entertaining draft we've ever seen. And then I watched the first three picks, and I was like, yeah, this kind of sucks. And same thing with yesterday. I made it through three holes, and then I muted it because the jokes just weren't landing for me. And then the golf was so bad. And then Tom Brady split his pants, so I made it through a fourth hole. But that's it, man. I made it through four holes yesterday. I appreciate what sports are trying to do. But you know what I'm really jonesing for now, C-Dot?
I don't even know what it is. The NFL. I'm
something you complain about later.
No, just real sport. Just give me back the NBA, okay? Just give me back college football and the NFL. And don't oversaturate it. You don't need to give me... 10 college football games a week or anything like that. Just give it to me on a Saturday.
I mean, I just want to point out they were giving us 10 college football games a week when it was normal. They were giving you Tuesday action. They were giving you Thursday night. They were giving you Friday service academy.
I don't need all that.
They were doing college football that way before the coronavirus popped up.
I don't need all that. Just give me back normal sports at the pace that we had it at or somewhat close to normal. And again, I appreciate what all these sports are trying to do, but nobody's really landed. The UFC has been the closest to landing, I guess, but the horse competition and the match. I mean, were you entertained? Are you not entertained? Were you entertained?
I mean, I don't really watch golf in normal time, so I sure as hell wasn't about to watch it in fake time. I wasn't interested, but I wasn't the intended audience for the match. Those people that seem to watch the match seem to really enjoy it. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to a brand spanking new Levine's List that I'm sure will be very fun and exciting about all the great sports that he's watched over these last 2 weeks. But before we do that, let's get to something good and something bad from the weekend.
Something good.
You know what? I'm going to give my something good to Bill O'Brien. Now, Bill O'Brien typically gets ripped, gets ragged on, gets put down for some of the decisions that he makes when it comes to player personnel. So Aaron Wilson, who covers the Houston Texans for the Houston Chronicle, reported that the Texans offered Carlos Hyde a 2-year, $10 million contract. Now, I'm trying to figure out why a team would offer Carlos Hyde the exact same amount of money that Mark Ingram makes to play for the Baltimore Ravens when all of us come to the same conclusion that Mark Ingram is far better than Carlos Hyde. But who was me to stop and question the knowledge of Bill O'Brien? So Carlos Hyde said, no, I don't want that contract. I want to go play for a different team. So Carlos Hyde goes and signs a 1-year, $4 billion deal with the Seattle Seahawks. Now, I'm not that great at math, but would I rather have a 1-year, $4 million deal or a 2-year, $10 million contract as a running back? It seems pretty straightforward to me. So I'm giving my good weekend to Bill O'Brien because he dodged a bullet.
I'm giving my good weekend to the foodies in Kansas City because Joe's and Minsky's have collaborated on a pizza. Have you had that yet?
I have.
What'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was pretty good, too. And I think that it's a really good idea, and I wouldn't be surprised if other local pizza companies / barbecue joints try to steal the idea. Like, I'm a big fan of Q39, right? You know that. I think they got the best sauces in town. And I also like the pizza at Da Bronx. Well, they're both on 39th Street, so meet in the middle somewhere and team up and, you know, put your toppings on your pizza. And all of a sudden, yeah, you kind of rip off what Joe's and Minsky's did, but maybe you do it better. Smokehouse and, say, Italian Delight. Rob, you know I love me Italian Delight. Get me a slice of Sicilian pizza. You get the Smokehouse, get some of the barbecue brisket or something, put it on top. Good for Joe's and Minsky's to do what's first. I think there's a bunch of other places in Kansas City that are about to follow.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the case.
Really?
I feel like that lane is already taken. Like,
no.
If that happens, you bit off their good idea. Like, Minsky's and Joe's, I don't know if they're owned by the same people. I don't know anything about it. But they had a really good idea.
Great idea.
Tomorrow, if you're telling me Da Bronx and Q39, I'm going to say, oh, you're copying what they're doing. If you're in this kind of business, you want to be innovative. Oklahoma Joe's was innovative. They had the idea. Gates wasn't doing it. Jack Stack wasn't doing it. They put the onion ring on top of the sandwich and changed the game. So you just got to come up with your own good idea here. Nothing wrong with that, but you got to come up with your own unique and original idea if you're in the pizza barbecue business.
See, unique and original is not always the best idea because you're the one that pointed out to me that Dippin' Dots have been the ice cream of the future, what, since 1984?
But ain't nobody else out here doing Dippin' Dots. You're not seeing true. Blue Bunny
that's
Dippin'
true.
Dots.
There's got to be Bell. Some sort of competition to Dippin' Dots.
Have you ever seen it?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
So but there has to be.
At this point, there's three people right here. I've never seen competition for Dippin' Dots.
I haven't either.
I've been to a lot of ballparks. I've been to Worlds
Me
of
too.
Fun. It's not like, you know how when you go to Walgreens right across the street, there's a CVS?
Yes, every time.
I've never seen right across the street from the Dippin' Dots, there's fake Dippin' Dots.
Never.
Because they got the market cornered. Do you want a cherry limeade from anybody else other than Sonic? They
no.
cornered the market.
Well,
they cornered it.
Winstead's, rest in peace, almost on their last legs.
Yeah, they're out of here.
Almost.
So I'm just saying is you got to find your own lane. Q39 and Minsky's. If you guys want to do like a barbecue breadstick or something, yeah, change the game. Maybe you want to do a special barbecue crust, change the game.
Mm-hmm.
But collaborating with another pizza to miss this money, nah, you can't do it, man.
Joe's and Minsky's, they already did that. I see what you're saying.
So I'm saying.
And I've been to both the Kansas State Fair and the Missouri State Fair. And what, Sedalia and I believe Hutchinson?
I mean, that's just a carnival. Let's just be honest.
Whatever the hell you want to call it.
The State Fair is a carnival. You can't monopolize a carnival.
Is there a Ferris wheel? Can you win giant stuffed animals?
Yes.
Can you go home with a goldfish? All right, well, then you can call it whatever the hell you want, but I know that I've been to a bunch of them, and you can only get Dippin' Dots. There's no competition.
That's what I'm saying.
No
yeah.
competition.
My something good this week is going out to Pizza Hut. Listen, class 2020 high school graduates had it tough. They don't get a real graduation. They don't get to walk. They have to drive in truck beds past teachers' houses to rattle applause and do class online. It's rough sledding. Pizza Hut's giving away 500,000 pizzas to class of 2020. You know what, Pizza Hut? You're not the best pizza in the world, but whenever you give someone something for free, I respect you. Pizza Hut gets my something good.
You know what? I'm going to applaud Pizza Hut because even though I'm not a 2020 graduate, I certainly got the benefit. It never says you got to sign up with your school email. I got 4 free pizzas in my email from Pizza Hut. I was signing up all kind of accounts and emails to make sure I got my free slices from Pizza Hut. Salute to them and all the 2020 graduates out there. Every company should do this. Chipotle, you guys interested in doing this? Give a buy one, get one free bowl, a free bowl to 2020 graduates on the app. Sign me up. I'm here for it.
I plan on using my student ID to get a discount the rest of my life. Like, I still got mine on my wall, don't you? There's really no point.
I don't use it anymore, but I still got it.
Who's going to call you out, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you have your student ID? Here it is. And yeah, mine might be from 2007 when my hair looked, you know, significantly, more existing than it is now, but I'm still going to use that student ID. I plan on using that thing for at least the next 20 years.
Coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll get into a brand spanking new Levine's List. In 15 minutes, talk about Lance Armstrong, who had a documentary on ESPN. Rob, it wasn't all good this weekend. There was some bad, too. Hit me.
Something bad.
I'm giving my something bad to Alyssa Milano. Now, if you don't know who Alyssa Milano is, she is in Charmed. And over the weekend, she posted a selfie with her and her family, and they were all wearing masks. The problem with her mask was it was crocheted. Now, if you're not familiar with crochet, there was holes in the mask. The mask can't really be that effective if you have holes in the mask. That's number one. And then you know how the internet does. People were running to cape for the celebrity and saying, well, maybe she has a carbon filter inside the mask. I didn't know what a carbon filter was. So I looked it up. You're right. Maybe she had a carbon filter in her mask, so it was meeting CDC guidelines. A, everybody else in your family just had a regular mask. Just put the regular store-bought mask on. And then B, even if you did have the carbon filter, was it worth it to spend 6 hours of your day arguing with randoms and bots on Twitter about your crochet mask? Dumb. Losing weekend for Alyssa Milano. All of it's stupid.
I know her from Who's the Boss, by the way, not Charmed. Remember with Tony Danza?
I have never seen that before.
They made a whole song about him. Hold me closer, Tony Danza. It was a bad weekend for me camping because, well, I had this bright idea of, so I went out to Hillsdale Lake on Saturday night, got the burger meat, got the corn, and I thought I'd try to cook on the open flame. You ever tried to cook on the open flame, C-Dot?
What part of our relationship together makes you think that at some point in my life I was in a camp situation where I cooked a meal over an open flame?
All right, well, so you haven't done it, and I did it for the first time, and it's not quite as easy as I thought it was going to be. So I started the fire, they have the little grate thing there for you. So I put that thing down. And then I had the bright idea of, instead of putting the meat directly onto the grill, I would kind of put it on the side because it was hot enough. So I was hoping that it would act as kind of a flat top, if you will. Well, not only did I ruin all of the meat, but my girlfriend decided to try one of the burgers. And let's just say that it didn't go down very well. So bad weekend for me, bad weekend for camping, and we ended up eating at a place called the Hillsdale Tavern, which was just outside of Hillsdale Lake. So shout out to Hillsdale Tavern, who makes better burgers than I did. Bad weekend for me and my cooking skills and my girlfriend's stomach.
This new girlfriend has turned you into Bears Gillis all
I'm
of
just
a
trying,
sudden.
Man.
This is the second time you've gone camping in a month.
Yeah? And second time in my life.
Do you have other plans to go camping?
After that, probably not. I'm going to take a little bit of time off.
If she brings up this weekend, let's go camping again, you are getting the cooler. You are going back out.
No, I'm not, because my lower back hurts so bad. So we took both the dogs, and then we also, the way that we do it is with an air mattress. So the dogs and her ended up on the air mattress. I ended up just on the ground of the tent. So my back hurts like hell, and it ended up raining that night. I don't understand. So we're always the last people in and the first people out. Like, we roll in at like 8 o'clock, set up tent, make some food, go to sleep, and then wake up, and we're out of there. Like, as soon as the sun is up, I don't understand all the people in the tents that are around us at Hillsdale Lake, and there's, like, thousands of them, at least hundreds of them, with people that are planning on doing the same thing for the next couple of days. That blows my mind. It's like Las Vegas, except I want to stay there even less. Like, Las Vegas, 48 hours, camping, 24 hours max, and if you do it any more than that, you're a crazy person.
Do any of you guys listen to SiriusXM?
Yeah.
There is this station, I think it's on Shade 45, where Rude Jude plays this game called Black, White, or Other.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll read the headline to a story, and then you have to guess the race of the person that committed the crime or did the thing based on their race.
That's a fun game.
I don't know your lady's last name. I don't know her first name. I don't know her ethnicity. I don't know anything about her. But the fact that you two took your dogs and have gone camping in multiple weekends, she is not a sister. I know that 1,000% without knowing any other context clues about this young lady. She is not black. What she might not even be an other. I feel pretty confident what race she is now based on those one context clues.
Didn't you say she wanted to go skydiving, Sean?
Mm-hmm.
That's your clue. That's the line.
She is not a black or an other.
No. He ain't lying.
See, how did I know? You can tell context clues based on that little bit of information.
My something bad is going to go to FC Cincinnati. Now, I know we're not all big MLS fans here, but they had a new coach.
Are these real teams?
These are real teams.
I don't know what you're saying.
They hired a new coach. They were so excited. They hit the social media to announce it, and they put the wrong photo of the new coach out there. This is embarrassing. If you run a social media account for a professional outfit in any capacity, you got to get the photo correct. This is the equivalent of the Chiefs being like, we're so happy to announce Andy Reid's our head coach with a photo of Romeo Crennel.
No, it's not.
That's
people know who Andy Reid is, and people know who the Chiefs are.
Their new coach is extremely famous.
Nobody knew except for maybe his family.
Knew. It was everywhere.
Nobody knew that, Rob. I'm talking about the local market, the local fans. Nobody knew that was an issue except for maybe this gentleman. What's his name?
Yop Stom.
Okay. Yop Stom? You're telling me they put the wrong picture of Yop Stom in and that was a big deal to somebody?
I know you're not talking. You don't know who Cowboy Cerrone is?
You don't?
I know you're not talking. You mentioned 17 UFC guys, and that, you could have said Yop Stom, and I'd be like, oh, he fights UFC? Oh, word, I didn't know.
Do more people know the name Cowboy Cerrone or Yop Stom?
I have absolutely no
clue. Well, I'm telling you right now, it's Cowboy Cerrone.
I don't know.
I guarantee you're wrong.
I don't know.
Yop Stom played central defender for Manchester United in the 90s.
People that are listening to this?
He's a stud.
Nobody knows what a Yop Stom is.
I'm still trying to figure out what a FC Cincinnati is. I know what the Cincinnati Reds are. I know who the Cincinnati Bengals are. I know who the Cincinnati
It's gonna
Bear
be a while
until
you figure out what a Yop Stom is.
What the hell is a FC Cincinnati?
A Yop Stom is something coach. He's a coach of something called FC Cincinnati.
I'm still trying to figure out what
he's
the
a
FC
manager,
stands
but
for.
Neither here nor there.
Yop Stom.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll talk about Yop Stom, who I'm sure competed against Lance Armstrong in the Tour de France. But before we do that, it's time for a brand spanking new Levine's List.
Like, I feel like sometimes Rob talks about stuff that he's pretty sure is going to connect. Remember that whole quantum leap thing? What the hell's quantum leap?
UFC guy. I know you're not talking.
Okay, Yop Stom. Today's Levine's list, my favorite movies from the 80s. Not yours, C-Doc, because it's Levine's list. Number 10, how many of these have you seen? Short Circuit?
I've heard of it, never seen it.
Never seen Short Circuit? Number 9, The Breakfast Club. Tell me you've seen The Breakfast Club. What a great movie. Number 8, although a little bit overrated, still one of the better movies of the 80s, Top Gun. Number 7.
I just want to point out that you've named 3 movies. There have been 2 black people in 3 movies so far.
Let me see. Number 6 has a brother in it. And wait till number 1 then.
Oh,
okay, wait till number 1.
All right,
one.
We got Coming to America. Number 1.
He ruined the list.
How did I know?
The list. Number 7, The Princess Bride. Which, if we're doing black, white, and the other, I do not believe there's a brother or sister in that film.
Andre the Giant's in that movie. I do know that.
Correct. Buttercup and the R-O-U-S-S-R as well. Number 6, Lethal Weapon.
You got a brother in that.
Definitely a brother
Shout
in that
Shout out
movie.
To my dog, Danny Glover.
Definitely a brother in
Shout
that movie.
Shout out to Danny Glover.
Number 5, Wax On, Wax Off, Karate Kid.
There was a brother in the sequel.
Number 4, you wouldn't know if there's a brother or not because you have never even seen this movie, Goonies, which is ridiculous. Number 3.
I definitely wasn't no brothers in the Goonies. Come
number
on
Number 3, Back to the Future.
There were brothers in the Loonies.
Okay. Number 3, Back to the Future. Number 2, Scarface. And since C-Dot ruined it for you, yes. Number 1, lots of brothers in the movie. Coming to America. Those are my 10 favorite movies from the 1980s, and that is today's Levine's List.
Coming up next, we'll talk about Jaap Stam, who competed in the Tour de France against Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong had a documentary on ESPN. We'll discuss it coming up. It's a drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.